This is Tracy Hales-Vass, right on Four Corners. Today I'm talking to Tacy Atsidi, who has recently published a beautiful book of poetry, Rain Scald. Hi, Tacy.
Hi, how are you, Tracy?
I'm great. Congratulations, I should say, on your publication of Rain Scald.
Thank you.
It's a gorgeous book. I got it the other day and have poured through it. The cover's gorgeous and the poems are amazing. Can you tell me a little bit about creating it?
Yeah. So, Rain Scald I wrote when I was in graduate school at Cornell University in Ithaca, New York. And it largely stemmed from some experiences that I had while I was there my first semester. We had some students who had committed suicide, and they had jumped into the gorges, and it was horribly sad and disheartening and very depressing, and the weather wasn't really helping. It was, you know, just as we were in fall getting into winter. And so the Gorge Dweller section is the second section in the book, and it kind of pushed a lot of the poems, and it helped shape the entire book. And so those experiences that I had out there and trying to process the deaths and wondering my place in the community and what was my purpose in the community when things like that had happened, and and then also looking to the land for some help and for some solace, and trying to cultivate stories from the tribes in the area, so the Haudenosaunee, the Cayuga, Oneida, and Onondaga. And so some of the thinking and thought processes and ways of knowing were from the Haudenosaunee and went into the people. And then in the summertime, I came home back out to the west and to the Navajo Nation and spent time in the canyons. And so I juxtaposed the canyons of Arizona and New Mexico to the gorges of New York. So I, you know, one of the hardest things for me living out in New York was not being able to see the sunset and the sunrise and not really being able to see the sky. There were so many trees, and I would hike and hike and hike, and even the highest points, it was really difficult to see the land. And so that was something for me that I was struggling with there. And so I found solace in the gorges and just kind of retreated there. And so that's kind of how the book took its form. And when I went home to the canyons, I looked at the stories of the land and the areas where I grew up, where I came from, and the stories that are meaningful to me. And so that's where a lot of the first part of the book comes from. So, yeah.
You know, it's interesting. I was surprised that you said so much of it came to you in New York, because it's so relative to this land here, this area, this geography.
Mm-hmm.
I can see that really clearly. What, yeah. You have three sections here, and I'm not going to pronounce them, will you? Three sections of
the... Yep. So the first section is Sayit, which means, essentially it means canyon, but when you look at take the word apart, Seh is like rock, Yit, or Yit means inside, so it's been translated as deep in the rocks, or meaning canyon. And then the second is Gorge Dweller, and then the third part is Tohe, and Tohe is it's a ceremony that is extinct for Navajo people. It's used for calling rain and healing paralysis, resuscitating from drowning and deafness, and used in handling dreams. So those are the three parts of the book.
Oh, wow. That really explains it. Do you want to read a piece from there first? Just give us an idea what we're looking at.
Sure. So I'll start with the cover, which is Rainscald. It is visual. But I think it'll be okay.
Great.
So here goes.
Great.
Rainscald. When standing in rain for so long, you no longer hear or feel it falling. You believe it's stopped. Step away. Look to your skin. Muck itch. It's a shame your hands have gone bald from fungus, taking you to what's beneath scab, to one of those nights when you know your gums will bleed. To say it's been a while, or it has to do with wrist mange, is to say rot comes so easily now. Skin weep, lapse, step through the whole black of your home, and still no damp, no exactly when to bend your finger for the light switch.
That's beautiful.
So familiar.
Oh, sorry.
In a bod. Shame, your hands have gone haywire, taking you to what's beneath rust, ranges they've grazed, a time when you're combed through, when you know your knuckles and all that rain has swallowed.
Amazing.
Thank you.
And I'm looking at the cover here, which is a very fascinating picture.
Mm-hmm.
It's really a pretty turquoise color, and there's two people in water, dressed in ceremonial mm-hmm. clothes. Tell me about that.
Yeah, so this photo is the work of Cara Romero, who is Chumash from California tribe. And she took this photo. She lives in Santa Fe. She took this photo in Santa Fe. It's called Water Memory. And the subjects are wearing, I believe, their Pueblo traditional clothing. And she has this really wonderful interview that she, when I say she, Cara Romero did. And it's online, and I haven't listened to it for a while, but she goes through the entire process of taking this one photo. And so it's really wonderful. I really gravitated towards it because of the colors, because of the subject, because of everything that was, it's just there, you know.
It is.
And it's so interesting that the, you know, the subjects are descending kind of head first backward in
mm-hmm.
into the water, and and so it's kind of, for me, it tells kind of what Rainscald is about, you know, what's happening and how water is life. But I think that in some situations, water, too much water, can be detrimental to a people. And so that was why I really gravitated towards the photograph, and I really loved it. And besides, it's just gorgeous.
It is gorgeous. It's significantly... it stands out for sure. I just love mm-hmm. it. Now you are going to be talking soon at the King's English Bookshop on April 12th in Salt Lake
yes.
City, and then you'll be in Santa Fe.
Yep.
And at Navajo Prep on April 19th.
Yep.
And you'll be reading from Rainscald?
Yes, I will be reading from Rainscald.
Great. So we'll mention those dates again soon. Is there another one you'd like to read?
So I was trying to figure out which one I would like to read. I kind of wanted to see where this was going. I'll read a monster poem.
Oh, good. Okay.
Because it's winter.
Yes.
And so I won't be able to read this poem in a while,
okay.
once winter's over. So this one's called Monster Who Kicks people down the cliff. He tells me his mother once rode a mare to death, that when he was a child, she'd kick him in the pants, and he'd plummet to the canyon floor, talking to his relatives along the way. But tonight, the sky emits a loneliness only a monster could know. And so he told me how he came to be this way. In a vale of cottonwoods, he starts, my mother would sit near a river, bending her back for stones that looked like half of me. Soon thereafter, I settled like a rock inside her belly as she rode bareback along the river. Maybe it was the weight of me, but soon she regretted how she waited for the sun to warm cliffs, regretted my father seeing her longing. I've seen her clamber and wail when she went off to be with canyon walls. Later, she'd rock me to sleep. Oh, Layla, Layla, oh, Layla, Layla, Layla. And as she went riding over, I can't tell you how the sky shot me to pieces, how my insides laid like a wet mane over river rocks. I never saw the horse again, and now my mother's people know nothing but to skid me across water into the willows below. Your people, he finishes and stands up. When you pile the night as long as I have, and wait for walls to sink, then rise into sun. You can never know morning like this.
That was gorgeous. Thank you for singing that one part. That really adds to it. You have a beautiful singing voice, too.
Ah, thank you.
So I know that you are a very traditional person, and I keep thinking about it, and you've mentioned this a little bit, but the conflict of going to Cornell with your own culture must have been really trying, even outside of the suicides.
Yeah, I mean, I am Christian, and but I also know and appreciate and acknowledge that I am Diné. And so I've had to come to a balancing of that. And so I wouldn't say I'm traditional, just for maybe any Navajos that might be listening to this, like, oh. But I do, like, appreciate and I learn about who my ancestors are, who I come from, and their ways, because there are good ways. And ways of knowing from Diné people. And so I learned those and I cultivate those, and that singing and the language and stories and things that add to bettering our world. And so, yeah, one of the things, you know, with Gorge Dweller, when I went to Cornell, that was difficult for me was how Western culture handles things such as death, such as suicide. And I had just come from the Institute of American Indian Arts in Santa Fe, and death was handled differently there in a more communal way. And so when I went to Cornell, of course, it was a larger campus and a lot larger population of students, but I kind of had a hard time just figuring out, like, who I was in that community and how I was supposed to offer what I had to offer in terms of the deaths of the students and things like that. So that was kind of hard. Other things that were difficult for me while I was out there was sitting in some of my graduate courses, you know, for a lot of Western culture in the academia, you know, you have to be smart. And, you know, smart means you're fast and you're a quick thinker and you're quick to rebuttal, you're quick to argue your point. And so I remember I was sitting in one of the classes, and that's what was happening. It was just like these people were just, and it was a small class, there was maybe 8 of us, and they were shooting across the table, you know, this and that and this and that. And I just kept thinking, like, I can't even process half the things they're saying because I'm having to process in X situation, Y situation, Z situation, and really try and take hold of what people were saying and try and understand what they were saying from all the different perspectives that I have as a woman, as an Indigenous woman or Diné woman, as a Christian woman, you know, as an LDS woman. And so I just remember being like, you know, like, and so I just kind of was like, okay, stop. I was like, nobody's even listening to each other here. And, you know, they were like, what? You know, just kind of, what are you talking about? You know, and I had to explain where I was coming from. And I said, nobody's even listening, like at least the way that I had been taught, to really take these things into consideration and try and walk it through a lot of different situations to see the validity in what they were saying and how maybe that did work or how it might not have worked. And anyway, so that was, I just remember that being a moment where I had to teach a little bit about where I was coming from and the way that we think about things. Because I think a lot of times, you know, people take our reticence or our silence as we're angry or we're dumb, we don't know, we can't process, you know, things or, you know, things like that. And so that's not what it is at all, you know, and or that we're not articulate or, but it's actually, there's a lot of thinking that's happening in a lot of different ways. And so that was something that took a little bit of time to maneuver while I was there.
A lack of appreciation for contemplative thinking.
Yeah.
Because that's what it sounds like. Well, that's very interesting. And you're now in Salt Lake City?
Yep, I'm in Salt Lake City now.
And what are you doing these days?
Yeah, so I work at a nonprofit. It's a state historical park. We've got about 500 acres of land up by Emigration Canyon, just right on the side of the mountain. And it's called This is the Place Heritage Park, and it's we've got about 50 buildings that are in the time period of the 1850s, and that's when the Mormon pioneers came into this area, and they and so a lot of what we do there is tell the stories of the things that had happened and show and demonstrate doing presentations. And so there's a Native American village, and so I'm the program coordinator over that village. And I do research and create curriculum and training and recruiting. And I work with the tribes as a sort of liaison between the park and the 8 tribes in Utah. I head up a big event called the Intermountain All-Women Hoop Dance Competition, and we had our inaugural year last August, and so that was really fun, because women hoop dancing is kind of a thing. It's only been around for a few decades, and so we're just creating a space for the women to come and dance and create a community here in Salt Lake. And so that's what I do. I really enjoy it.
Oh, it sounds really fun.
Yeah, I get to, what I really enjoy about it is for so long, people have been telling our stories not from Native voices. And so we have this opportunity to tell our stories as we know them, and telling not only, you know, people in Salt Lake, but we have a lot of international visitors, and so we get to tell a story from our perspectives and tell them in a range of ways through storytelling and through dance and, like I said, cultural demonstrations and presentations and stuff. So it's really fun. I really enjoy it. Keeps me on my toes, and it's definitely challenging. So.
Oh, and I can imagine you'd be a great storyteller.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. And what are you writing these days?
So I have about half of another manuscript done, and it has to do with, part of me doesn't want to say too much.
I understand.
I'm like, ah.
I understand.
It has to do more with, I think, love and kind of going that way, because Rainscald it's just completely different than Rainscald.
Oh.
And so, I mean, it's nice. I think Rainscald is definitely necessary, and but this next manuscript that I'm writing, it's a lot of sonnets, and but it's just completely different feel, and I kind of have an idea of what is the shape that's coming about for the book. I got three pieces just recently. Yesterday got picked up for Poetry Magazine from this these sonnets. It's called Lacing, and it's a sonnet redoubled. So there's 15 sonnets, and so three of them just got picked up. So exciting!
Oh, that's great!
Yeah,
congratulations!
So I'm excited.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'm excited to see, you know, the rest, how the rest of the poems unfold. So yeah, that's what I've been doing.
That's great. Where can our listeners find Rainscald?
Yep. So online at preferably at UNMPress.com, because University of New Mexico Press is the press who published the book, but also BarnesandNoble.com and Amazon.com.
Okay.
Or if they see me, they can, you know, I think I have a handful in my truck that I just kind of carry with me. So
good plan. And what is the address of your website?
It's TaceyMatfitty.com.
Okay.
So, yeah, TaceyMatfitty.com.
Great. Yeah, I looked at your website. It's very well done.
Thank you.
And on that, they can find where you're going to be and when. Like I said, you'll be in your hometown April 12th at the King's English Bookshop.
Mm-hmm.
And the 18th, you'll be where in Santa Fe?
The Institute of American Indian Art.
Great. And on the 19th, you'll be up around this area at Navajo Prep. So that'll be great.
And if anyone's listening and you're in Tampa, Florida, I'll be there next week. Yay! On Thursday, March, I think. 8th, March 8th, I think.
Oh, going down to where it's warm.
Yeah, well, it's for the Associated Writers and Writing Programs Conference, AWP.
Yes, AWP. Been there. Mm-hmm. Love it. Sorry, I'll miss you this time.
Next time.
Yes, there you go. Do you want to read something else before we sign off?
Sure. Let me see. I kind of want to read something happy, but I don't have anything happy in the book.
Do you have something happy with you?
Oh. No, I don't. Not right offhand.
Okay.
I'm just kind of flipping through.
Okay.
Okay, I'll read one called Anasazi.
Okay.
And I'm choosing this one just because I feel like voice is super important. I was on Facebook last night, and I saw this video that came out. It's just a short, like, 2 or 3 minute video about Flushing Little Feather.
Mm-hmm.
She was the one who went in front of the Academy Awards and took the award for Marlon Brando to voiced how Native Americans had been depicted in films to kind of stand up against it. And so she did this video thing that after that she had been silenced by Hollywood and I think it was the FBI who went around and said that, you know, if you hire her, then we'll make sure that your production, you know, doesn't make it off the ground, da da da.
Wow.
And so in a lot of ways she was silenced, and so this is her first kind of, I think, push to say, like, we are silenced no more. And as I was watching it, I kept thinking, like, in so many situations that I've been silenced, and I know that this is a human experience. It's not just, you know, it's not just Native women that are silenced. But I think that this book is a way that, like, I've been able to break the silence. You know, I grew up in Kirtland, little old Kirtland, New Mexico, and, you know, this is where a lot of those stories happened and took place. And so, this is kind of silence no more. I think a lot of times we feel like, you know, people have been speaking for us, or that we've been silenced. And it's not just mainstream America, and it's not just Westerners, it's ourselves. I was listening to a podcast by with Amber Crotty. She's a council delegate for my chapter in Cove, Arizona, with, you know, Peter Deswood,
mm-hmm.
the 21st Century Native Leaders podcast. And she was talking about how so much now we do to ourselves. You know, we're the ones who are tearing ourselves down as Navajo people. And so a lot of these things, you know, we need to pull off of ourselves and try and help one another instead. So anyway, so this is Anasazi, the poem, and it's just kind of like, okay, this is, it's, I think it's kind of a fun poem, but that's just me. Nasaze. How can we die when we're already prone to leaving the table mid-meal, like ancient ones gone to breathe elsewhere? Salt sits still, but pepper's gone, rolled off in a rush. We've practiced dying for a long time. When we skip dance or town, when we chew, we've rounded out like dining room walls in a canyon, eaten through by wind. Sorry we rushed off. The food wasn't ours. Sorry, the grease sits white on our plates. And the jam that didn't set, use it as syrup to cover every theory of us.
Wow. Very nice.
Thank you.
Makes you think. Well, yeah. Thank you so much for coming on the show and talking to me. I miss seeing you on campus, but it sounds like you're having a great time with what you're doing.
Yeah, thank you for having me, Tracy. I appreciate it. And every now and then when I make it home, I'll stop by and
please do
poke my head in and see Carrie and Lorraine and
right.
whoever else is walking the halls.
Absolutely.
So, yeah.
We'll be glad to say hi.
Okay.
All right.
All right. Take care, Tracy. Thank you.
You too. Thank you. And that was Tacy Atsidy talking about Rain Scald. This is Tracy Hales Vass, right on Four Corners on KSJE 90.9 FM, Farmington.